Yeah, absolutely.
Ready? Good morning, New Day. How are you? Those of you that are online, welcome. It's a beautiful day. And my name is Glenn Hirschberger. I'm the executive director for church planting. I oversee church planting in our district. New Day is part of our tribe, our network. And we're just so proud of Pastor Aaron and what he's accomplished here in this area, in this facility. And so we wish him well and his family as they're recuperating, getting revived and renewed. I think the world has changed in the last few months. Would you agree with that? And so today I want to kind of dive in right away from the get-go. And if you're online and those of you are here, this will be about a 20-25 minute message, and there's some questions that I'll ask at the end and some challenges. So I hope that you stay with us just for the next 20-25 minutes, because we know you want to get outside and enjoy God's creation. Amen? All right, let me open up in prayer. Father God, thank you for what you're accomplishing in this place, what you're doing in and through your people. And we pray that we would be attentive to your word today. We pray that you'd guide us and convict us, motivate us to live differently even today as we walk out the doors into the mission field. So Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people, specifically a lot of pastors. So I've really become kind of a pastor to pastor. And I've discovered something in the last 18, 20 months or so. There's great discouragement, not only with our leaders, but in the congregations. And I know it comes as no surprise, but everyone is dealing with difficulty. Would you agree with that? There's a lot of struggles. America, We even before the pandemic, we were one of the loneliest countries on the planet. And now we see an increase in suicides and divorce and stress. Counseling as an all-time high. Addictions are through the roof. And there's so many worries and anxiety that people are struggling with. So my question for you this morning is, if you know those people that are around you that feel stuck and nowhere to go, how do you step into their life to help them? You know, how do you help them in their struggle? And do you even have the compassion of Christ that you're actually wanting to step into their mess? And there's a fine line of meddling. Would you agree with that, church? Like, hey, if you're not invited, don't mess with them. Like, you don't want to knock on someone's door and say, hey, I hear you're having trouble. You know, let me help you. You would not be received well, right? I want to know from you, and you can answer this question, you know, you've got your table sheets. Do people know where they can go to get help, to get healing, to get restoration? Do they even know that? As you're talking to them, maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's at the golf course, fishing, you name it, because people talk. People are telling you what's going on with their life. I think the church is the only place that we can point them to get the answer. Do you agree with that, church? Like, the church should be the beacon of truth-telling and guidance and compassion and serving. And you only can get this peace and this understanding, this, I would say, comfort from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not going to get it in the world, ever. And people search for that in the world. And that's where addictions many times come in, because a lot of people are self-medicating. They're like, I don't know how to deal with this hurt, this wound, this struggle. So if you have your Bibles today, or smartphones, or it'll be on the screen, turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to tell you that Jesus has this encounter with a lawyer. And this lawyer is an expert of the law. He knows the Torah, the five books of the Old Testament. And this lawyer is looking for loopholes. He really wants to try to trip up Jesus. And so if you look at Luke 10:25, it says, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test. Church, have you ever put the Lord to the test? And how did that work out for you? And so here you have this guy who is clueless, but he says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in the Jewish context, that was a very important question to ask, because quite frankly, eternal life meant this. How do I live with God in the presence? How do I live in step, in tune, and in harmony with God? Church, isn't that a good question we should ask? Day by day, moment by moment, how do we live in tune with God Almighty? And then how do we live a life of significance and meaning in the here and now? I think it's a great question. And I think people are asking that question, but they don't know the answer. I hang out with some guys that are non-church. They don't go to church. In fact, they said, I want nothing to do with church. And so do you think we should be hanging out with those people? This particular young man said, yeah, I've just kind of lost my way. I don't know my purpose. Like, oh, how is that played out over and over and over again in our culture? But not just our culture, quite frankly, worldwide. Well, I love Jesus' tactic. Jesus had a wonderful tactic, church. You know what that was? He used questions. He asked questions, and he asked this guy a question to elevate the significance of, quite frankly, it's more about the heart than anything, and this guy is really thinking more in his head. And so he's helping that person to discover what he already knew. This lawyer already knew the answer. Again, remember, he's trying to trip Jesus up. And so I think, friends, for us today, if we're going to make an impact in our culture, we have to get better at asking questions. We can no longer just spew biblical truths and our opinions. Well, hey, I got this opinion. Hey, raise your hand if you have an opinion. Raise your hand if you have a nose. Everyone has one. No one really cares about your opinion. They really don't. Now, you care, but if we don't ask people that we're interacting with, hey, what do you think? Where are you coming from? They're shutting down. They really are just shutting down. And so it's this idea of asking questions. I was sitting next to a guy who actually said, I'm going to hell. Has anyone ever said that to you? Like, flippantly, I'm going to hell. And I said, you know, God does not want you to go to hell. In fact, that's why he sent Jesus. And I said, maybe that's why I'm here to guide you. And quite frankly, hell was not created for people. It was created for the devil and his demons. And he kind of looked at me. And I just thought, okay, I'm planting seeds. But he kind of brought up going to hell, didn't he? If we get asking questions down pat like Jesus did, I think it's going to be a game changer for our culture. In fact, Jesus says, hey, expert of the law, since you know the law, how do you interpret it? In fact, he says, who do you follow? In verse 26 and 28, he said this. He said, what is written in the law? Now, Jesus knew he knew the law. How do you read it? How do you interpret it? How do you understand it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. In the here and now, but for us as Christ followers, it's also in the future. And again, I just have to emphasize this. Jesus' approach was to ask questions. And he'd ask us today, how do you interpret this? And how do you inherit eternal life? Love God. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I always tell people, you know, I do love God. People will come up to me that know me, that are Christ followers. They're like, I can really tell you love God. I have no problem loving God. But it's you people that I have a hard time with. You're hard to love. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it's hard to love you. Come on, do it. Even those that are watching online. You know that that's the rub. But we don't get a pass for loving the lovable. The challenge to be more like Christ is to love the unlovable. Look what Christ did for you and me. Friends, I'm standing before you a very unlovable person. Now, my wife loves me, and my grandkids love me. But again, you know what I'm saying? It's like, how do we love our neighbor? Then the guy says, who's my neighbor? So look at his motive. Who's my neighbor? Verse 29. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? Now, he knew what the Torah, what the Old Testament taught. He knew the answer already. But in those days, there's a Hebrew word called rea, which referred to someone close by in your community, neighborhood, your culture, someone that kind of looked like you, acts like you. I might even say watch the same news feed, maybe votes the same way. That was your neighbor back then. That is why Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan. He flips it upside down because they were so racist towards the Samaritans. Jesus, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's your neighbor. someone that doesn't look like you, act like you, smell like you, vote like you, watch the same news feed, whatever it may be. You are to love them anyway. In fact, I think the challenge for us today is to go above and beyond. Walk that extra mile. Give them your cloak. Turn your cheek. Like, truly love them. Look at John 13, 34 to 35. It says this: "A new command I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." Friends, in your notes, if you're watching online, ask yourself, how am I expressing love to my neighbor? How am I showing people that I actually love them? Verse 35, it says, "By this, only some people." Does it say that, church? Say no. It's "all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Friends, I think COVID has given us a great reset. We can reset the way we used to act and think about our culture, about people, and actually start loving people as Christ has first loved us. Friends, every choice you make matters because it proclaims about what you think is best and what you believe God is truly like. Every decision. I used to teach DARE. I was in law enforcement, 24 years, retired. I taught DARE, little sixth graders, you know, the little knuckleheads. And we always talked about consequences. There's good and bad consequences. The Bible talks about you reap what you sow. Don't you want to sow the seeds of grace, forgiveness, loving your neighbor? Because there's a benefit. Sometimes we get the benefit in this time, in this place, in our culture while we're living, but there's a great reward awaiting us in heaven. And we don't always think about that. What you do today matters for eternity. Amen? Come on, shout it out. Come on. There you go. You're awake. Yes. Who in your life is screaming for some sort of help that only you can provide because God has equipped you and given you basically that experience? One pastor that I know, his wife, 30-some years old, got diagnosed with cancer. And I'm spending time with him and understanding, hey, what is that like? I met a police officer a couple weeks ago, and his wife also has cancer. Like, I don't know that world. I don't know that word, that world. But they do. Do you think they're able to minister to someone else that has that disease? I would say yes. I don't know what you've gone through. Unemployment, divorce, you fill in the blank. Do you think that God's going to waste that experience on you? He's not. You've got a ministry related to that. The question is, we have free will. Don't you love free will? You chose to be here today because of free will. And then some, you're going to choose to go to work tomorrow or maybe call in sick. I don't know. Maybe you will be sick. But the danger of free will is this. You can choose safety and comfort and isolation and security. But you can also choose bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And honestly, even death, you can choose that. So the question is, what are you choosing today? What are you choosing today? Andy Stanley, pastor out in North Point in Atlanta, I like what he said. He said, "It's not enough to believe correctly. To make a difference, we must act on what we say we believe." If you believe that Jesus has forgiven you, that you are a Christ follower, and he's commanded us to love one another, then it comes through in our attitudes and our actions. And it's moment by moment. It's day by day. Some days I feel like, you know what? I'm pretty loving. And then I live in Hudson, Wisconsin, and I get behind a Minnesota driver. Guess what? I don't become very loving at that moment. I'm just being real. You know what I'm talking about. There's little frustrations, little triggers. And like, okay, settle down. How do I exhibit Christ's love in those situations? I can believe correctly, but it's not good enough. I've got to act correctly. And I think we've got a big problem in our culture. Do you believe that? We're not acting. We're not living like we should. So what do our lives proclaim about who God is in your life and in my life? Are we just supposed to let people just wallow in their misery, their discomfort, their depression? I don't think so. I don't think God is standing on the side of my life just going, okay, enjoy it. You're driving your life into the ditch. No, there's always opportunities to be rescued and redeemed. And that's our God that we serve. So how do we align our lives in the way that God's heart beats for humanity? Think about this. 2,000 years ago, he left the glory of heaven, like the confines of all glory in heaven, where everything is perfect, to come to this planet to redeem us, to save us, to rescue us, that we could not do ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. In fact, quite frankly, you can't save yourself, you can't save anyone else, and you can't even fix yourself without the grace, the power, and the presence of God in your life. And so now God has given you this responsibility. You are the ambassadors. You are to go out into the world to make a difference, to plant seeds. You know, your platform here has fish hooks. I just discovered this from Heidi. Like, there is a fishing kind of theme in this facility. Well, guess what? We are to be fishers of men. Guess what fishers of men do? They just cast the bait. I'm a terrible fisherman. I don't catch anything. But God does. God catches people. But you plant the baits. You plant the seed. You plant the idea that you can have forgiveness. You can have acceptance. You can have purpose. Again, John 13:35, they will know we are Christians by our love. What if you turn on a news channel and it was highlighting New Day on how you as a people are loving your community, knocking it out of the park? What would that look like for your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends? And I know Pastor Aaron, I think that's his desire. And I think that's your desire, but now go live it out. You know, what makes us different? Instead of going with the culture, we're counterculture. We shouldn't look like the culture. And we shouldn't like remove ourselves from the culture. We're going to be rejected. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to have pain. But that's okay. It's okay to dive headfirst into someone else's problem, to guide them, to ask them questions, to serve them. Quite frankly, we're not always good at that. And I think as Americans, we're pretty independent. And sometimes I hear this. It's like, yeah, I don't want to ask for help. You know what? It's the body of Christ. You should feel the freedom to ask for help. Can you give me a hand here? I'm having difficulty, whatever it may be. Can you give me perspective? Do you have a circle of friends that you can get biblical perspective because they're good counselors? Or you tap in and you say, hey, I'm thinking about making this decision. What do you think? That's a wrong decision. Oh, okay, thanks. You know, give me a perspective. I don't think we do that enough. We're the body of Christ. We should be doing that constantly, not in a codependent way, I might add, okay? Like, you want to be affirmed by what the Spirit is telling you to do and the body of Christ. The church always fights this tendency, friends, to kind of turn inward. Hey, I've got my problems. This church has, you know, issues here. And we have a tendency to, quite frankly, be self-satisfied. It's good enough, right? It seems like the Great Commission has been replaced by the Great Complacency. The Great Commission is what? Go into the whole world. Go into your neighborhoods. Go into your region. Go into your county. Teaching God's word. Baptizing them. Being obedient, following Christ. And we need to do that. In fact, in the book of Acts, Jesus gives his marching orders and says, hey, go, right? He's telling us, go. And they kind of turned inward. The early church turned inward. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Persecution broke out. And they were forced to go to the next neighborhood. They were forced to go to different regions. In fact, it says, throughout Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That is what Jesus told us to do. It's still true today. Go to Marathon County. Go to Wausau, Weston, Schofield. Go to Wisconsin. Go to Minnesota, Illinois, go regionally, and then go overseas globally. We were missionaries in Panama. I'm telling you, there's a great work that's happening around the world, and we just don't always hear about what's going on. So experience that. But then God allows this persecution to create this sense of urgency. I guess I can't stay here. I better go. And in fact, Acts 8:4 says this, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. There's power in God's word. And so could it be today in 2021, halfway through 2021, I might add, that there's a sense of urgency that we should be going to those people that we have influence with. And I think it's a call for the church. And I'm super excited because you know what? Some churches are leaning more into prayer like never before. Some churches are getting their purpose clarified. Like, you know what? We've got all these programs that are ineffective. Let's just get to the simple gospel proclamation. Let's get to prayer and serving and loving people. Since December of 2020, I've been in this role for 5 years. Since 2020, mid-December until currently, I've had more church planters interested. I have more activity in people saying, I want to answer the call to reach a people generation, a people group in this generation. I am so excited what God's doing, and I'm hearing about that nationwide. And we should rejoice for that, and we should be praying for those that God would raise up planters from New Day, missionaries from New Day, that we send them out. Do you agree with that, church? We've got to get back to the mission of Christ. And quite frankly, there's a lot of people that are just oppressed in their sin, and they don't even know they need a Savior. They just know they're stuck. So how do you lead them by asking questions to help them? Hey, you feel like you're really hurting. Have you ever considered the ways of Christ? Like, he's offering forgiveness and acceptance. And I think for you and me today, we need softer hearts for those people. Instead of being offended and irritated and angry, we need to go, okay, I wonder what's going on in their life. Because everybody has a story, and they may not even feel comfortable sharing it with you. But maybe if you spend some time with them asking good questions and then loving them like Jesus loves them. Friends, we have to show our neighbors what love really is all about. A true gospel-centered, Christ-centered love. And we need to reach out to them. Find out what makes them tick. Ask them questions. Hey, why do you think that? You know, what are their dreams? Many times when I go to a restaurant, and I don't do it every time, but every now and then I'll meet a wait staff, and I got a great sense of humor. I'm super funny most of the time. My wife doesn't think that, but I'll engage, and I'm giving them a hard time. I'm a little sarcastic, but then towards the end, because we've developed this rapport, I'll say, hey, are you the manager? They're like, no, I'm not the manager. But what's your dream? And it's amazing how many times they will say, well, this is my dream. And then I'll just say, hey, can I pray for you? I've never had anyone say, no, I don't want prayer. And I tell you what, we were in Orlando last February, and there was a gal from one of the Caribbean islands, and she was studying to be a pilot. And we just interacted like this. And there's six pastors around this dinner table. And it got to the point where I said, hey, you know, if we prayed for you, what would be the top three prayers? So she listed them. And so we just prayed. We just prayed for her. That was it. She walks back in. We're outside. She walks back into the restaurant. And then a security guard comes out and starts engaging us. Like, what did you say to her? We just said, we just encouraged her and prayed for her. He said, she came back into that restaurant and said, they changed my life. I will never know what that even meant. And then we engaged with the security guard. He played at a church, and we just had this great dialogue. We prayed for him too, but he was a follower of Christ. This gal was not. So you just never know the impact you can have. It's those little steps of planting seeds. So how can you be Jesus with skin on? Well, John 20:21 says this, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So Jesus would look you in the eyes online in the room here today, and he would say, I'm sending you. Now find out to who. Find out what does that look like in your life. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:11-7. He says, for the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, and the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Friends, there's good news when you deliver the gospel message. When you're actually presenting, you're not preaching like I'm preaching today at the screen and in the room. It's like living life, like representing Christ in your interactions. In that passage, I tell you, this is a couple of things I just jumps out for me is God wants everyone to be saved. That is his desire, but he never forces himself on anyone. How many of you have memorized John 3:16? Well, you should memorize that because it's so important for our Christian faith. It's like, for God so loved the whole world. He didn't want anyone to perish, that he sent his only son, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, follows him, will be saved and will have eternal life. Isn't that good news? I think that's the gospel. And the second thing is someone needs to go. You and I need to decide, are we going to go? I truly believe those that are online today, those that are in the room, some of you may be called to go. And maybe it's plant a church. Maybe it's to get involved more in the ministry of this church. Maybe it's to be a missionary. I don't know. But if you're open, if you have your hands open, say, Lord, I'm willing, I'm available, just send me. It's amazing what he will do. And I think some in the room, some online, maybe you just need to step out and go, you know what? I need to get better at how to share Jesus with others. And there's a strategy. Like I said, it's asking questions. It's finding where people tick. 1 Peter 4:8 to 11 says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. That's your reminder as we're closing today. Since love covers a multitude of sins, what does it do? Covers it. Like just, if people know your agenda, that you have the best at heart for them, that you're truly loving them, then even when you mess up, it can cover that in a good way. There's a benefit that comes out of that. Verse 9, it says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Really? Yeah, really. Don't grumble. We have nothing to grumble about. And in verse 10, it says, as each of us have received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. And whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Friends, you can't save everybody. You can only plant seeds. And it starts with one. So in your mind today, what is one? Is there one person that comes to mind like, you know what, I need to be a little bit more intentional? There's some good questions you could ask, and I've used these with guys that I'm hanging out with. First question is, would it be okay if we asked, when we talked today, we talked about something spiritual, you know, spiritual things. So just ask permission. They may say no. What about if you say something like this, hey, each of us have our own spiritual story. Do you mind sharing yours with me? Put them first. Another question you could ask is, many people have been turned off by church. Do you know why that is? You know, and why do you think you're turned off by church? That's not an offensive, irritating question to ask someone. What about this one? Have you ever met a genuine Christian that you admired or liked or respected? Hopefully they'd say you, right? I mean, right? I mean, that'd be proudful, but, you know, prideful, but just, you know, whatever. And friends, those of you that are watching online or in the room today, I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I just want to encourage you. You can surrender your life to Christ today. You can start this journey with Christ today, and you never do it alone. You always do it in fellowship with a local church, with disciple making. So I just want to fly through this real quick. The first is the ABCs. Accept Christ. Accept what he did on the cross. And then believe that you confess with your mouth and you believe that Jesus died for your sins. And then confess that, hey, I have messed up. I have wrecked my life. I've made bad decisions. Just confess that. And then the last one is just follower. Just follow Christ. And get plugged into this church. Get plugged into small group. Friends, let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for what you're doing in New Day. I pray that you were pleased by just our thought life, the message today. May you be glorified. Lord, I pray that those that are online, Lord, that would just wrestle with what was discussed today. And Lord, that we would walk out of here making a difference, showing people that we can truly love them as you loved us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.